Zed the Liberal Gladiator, and I want to thank Casey for another excellent show. And always great to step in there and see you here.
Thanks, dude.
All right. Grassroots Radio, we can thank each other for whatever it is we're doing. So, anyway, I'm going to welcome everyone once again to Weight Off Your Shoulders. I've got in my studio again Bobby Abreu from, does boxing. And we are going to go over some stuff regarding maybe Boxing Valley, boxing fitness, that sort of thing. And then from there, we're going to discuss maybe a fight or two. So, that being said, Bobby, how are you doing there?
I'm doing well, thank you. How about you?
Really good. All right, so, the Roaring Fork Valley wouldn't be normally considered a mecca for boxing. We don't have, big title fights here.
No, we don't.
we don't even have amateur fights here.
No, not here, no.
No. But there seems to be a lot of people, more people that are getting interested in the, the gentlemanly sport of boxing.
Yes, indeed. What we do is when we train somebody up and they want to compete, we take them to Denver or wherever else they're going to fight, Missouri, Virginia, and places like that.
Okay. And so when you're... a lot of people realize that that fighting sports require, a certain level of fitness that has to be, pretty good. And what do you like to see in terms of someone's fitness? What are you looking for when you're taking a look at a potential prospect who's thinking, hey, Bobby, I want to be an amateur. How do you look at age and how do you look at, their skills, athletic ability, their weight and their strength? There's a lot of things that you see. I know you look at it and you say, okay, this guy could be good, or this guy, I'm not so sure about him or her.
Well, it's pretty diversified these days as far as age goes and what have you. But if somebody comes to me and says, hey, I want to fight, I'll know early on whether or not they're going to have that capability. We did have one girl that came in, and she wanted to fight, and she couldn't break an egg in a food fight when she was smacking on that bag.
Mm-hmm.
And now this girl's nothing polite. She can fight. So a lot of people come because they want to. With me, they have to learn how to fight. There's no other way. It's not boxing, cardio, or any of that game. No kicking bags, no nothing.
So it's not Taibo,
saying. No, it's none of that. They don't need me. They could stick that tape of Billy Blank in, and they're on their way. No,
right.
Me, it's the boxing, it's the fight. Yeah.
Okay. And so now, and this is something that's important too. A lot of people don't understand the difference between fighting and boxing. How would you define or explain that difference?
Well, my style of training is to train them to be boxer punchers, and if the fight comes out of them, then that's a blessing. But the two things that, as you know, we can't teach is either you have a chin or you don't, or you have heart or you don't. Fortunately, they're cousins. They're related. So you could teach somebody how to smack a bag, smack the mitts, defense-wise, put the earmuffs on, slip, duck, slide, doing all these wonderful things that create a boxing dance-like move. And also you could teach them how to all the punches and all the correct combinations and what have you. But the fight's in them or it's not. And you find that out early on.
So it's kind of like that old saying, it's not the size of the dog in a fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog.
Not bad. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's and so that's something that's, so I'm sure you've seen guys that were total mismatches in size. And you think, oh my God, Goliath is going to just crush this bug, and the bug turns around and stings him and takes him right out.
Manny Pacquiao comes to mind with his fight yes. with Antonio Margarito, who outweighed him by at least 20 pounds.
Yeah, that's,
and
yeah.
He dolled him up something nice in that fight back in 2013.
Oh yeah, he put put an old-fashioned you-know-what type of whipping on them.
Oh, yeah.
Streetwise, yeah. Butt whipping.
Never let size fool you.
All right, and you also mentioned girls. Now, when you take a look at girls when they come in, you know, in my observation also, I don't know if it's yours too, but do you find them a little bit more receptive to being taught, maybe because there's more trusting and they get their ego out of the way and say, you know what, I don't know anything about this. This guy does. He's been in a ring. I'm going to listen to him. Where some guys think, well, I had a street fight, 3 years ago, and I know what I'm doing. You can't teach me nothing, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You know, the women don't have as much testosterone. And unless they come in there with a load of that and pride and what have you, yeah, it can be difficult. You know, it can be difficult. But I think I'd rather train girls these days than guys. Nothing to my guys, because my guys are something else.
No, I know. But, I've seen your guys.
You know, when you use that, you know, that analogy, yeah. Yeah, I have a slew of, my fighter has a slew of girls that she brings into me. And she trains them, initiates the training, and does a spectacular job. When I get them, I just have to, you know, just doll them up a little bit, raise them up, get them to do the proper things. And it's pretty fun. It's actually being pretty fun. We're going to have a slew of women warriors in Aspen.
I think that's great. And that goes back to the fact that you taught her how to think and analyze. Why are you doing something, how to do that something, and when to do it? Because that now makes it boxing as opposed to just, you know, a pure one street brawl where someone just, two guys stand there and start slugging it out, and, you know, and maybe they take a few shots to the chin and one of them drops, and then that's it.
You know, last night she came up with a really good analogy. We had magic mitts, and she brought one of her girls in that saw her, and she said, wow, she's a beast. We had good mitts that night. You know, she was moving like a ballerina and cracking like a donkey kicks, and it was just a beautiful thing to see. Hard to hit her when I was, throwing my hooks at her and stuff. And I missed her completely, and she was kind of grinning. She was feeling her oats. But she said, what I have to do is I have to listen. I have to digest it, let it come into me, then I have to apply it, and then I got to practice it. And that's how she's doing it. She's special. Ariel is her name. She's special, really.
That's fantastic. And so one of the things I wanted to also, you know, talk about more in terms of women now, you're teaching specifically, the sport of boxing, mm-hmm. But as you and I have discussed, we both came off the street, so we had to deal with people, you know, pulling knives and bats and all kinds of stupid stuff. And, you know, how do you tell them how boxing relates to things like self-defense? And then, like, your own experiences on a street where you're not on a canvas, in a canvas ring. It's not a controlled environment. I mean, you could be in a bar, a parking lot, or, you know, the woods, a street alley, a street corner, who knows?
That's a good question, and we do cover that. What I like to tell my people, girls or guys, is I say, you know, we're living in Aspen. You know, streets, you know.
Really safe.
Yeah, I'm Mill Street. You know, I learned my fighting on Mill Street. Yeah, you did.
That is.
They don't have to go through the dangerous stuff that I went through. They don't have to be backed in bad situations where you're fighting for your life. But I could teach them how to have the confidence and the ability to be that person. And hopefully they never have to use it. In some cases, they've had to. But I'll teach them how to do it. My girls will not be messed with when they're trained.
Yeah, and I like that, because that's something that I think a lot of people don't understand, is that the skill sets for boxing, the sport, transfer over very easily into street fighting techniques, because as we both know, people aren't always throwing punches. I mean, you may be in if that jab is really good, you can turn that jab into something like a finger poke to the eye. Mm-hmm. And you know, for a girl, I mean you got to do whatever you got to do. And that also gives an extension to their hand, so they can reach further. Which, as I've seen you train people, I know that you also or someone is, that really does like the idea that somebody's focusing on controlling the distance, controlling the tempo, controlling when to engage, and controlling when to exit an engagement and get out of, you know, and, you know, basically finish up and be in a new position that is, that's not advantageous for, you know, the opponent.
Well, in a street fight, there are no standing eight counts. There are no neutral corners. There are no no low blows. There's a lot of everything. So, yeah, I teach my people how to. There's also some great teachers, you being one, Ernest being one down in Al Jabal.
And who, thank you for that.
Oh, man. I mean, there's guys out here who could teach people and girls that they could have utmost confidence in themselves. And just when you think there's some delicate little flower you could perpetrate upon, you'll find out that's going to make a bad month.
Yeah. Right. And so you would feel totally comfortable with your girls if some just musclehead, meathead goon just went up to, you know, and said, "Hey, baby," or "Ariel, I'm going to, you know, give it to me. You know, what are you going to do?" And she could probably do them in.
Well, you know, I'm not going to name names, but there's a couple of my girls that socked out guys. And I mean, one put this guy down, broke his nose, and sprayed blood all over the place. And he went, "What in the heck was that?" Another one that was
great.
In a sporting event, beat this guy up. And poor guy had to go back in the locker room and said, they're teasing him, saying, "You just got beat up by Tweety Bird." You know?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so...
Oh, I think that's great, though.
Yeah, they don't get pushed
though.
Around. I don't advocate it. I don't advocate.
No,
I don't.
Yeah. I don't
advocate any of those things. But if you are going to get hurt, abused in any shape, way possible, what I've taught you and put that confidence in you, someone's going to get abused and it ain't going to be you.
Right. And that level of confidence is incredibly important because, in a sense, the moment you step into a ring through the ropes, you already know that you're incurring the idea that you can get hurt and that the idea is for you to put a hurt on someone. So if you have that confidence to step through the ropes, or pretty much, you know, a lot of combat sports, especially things with striking where you can get, you know, seriously hurt, then taking that out on the street where somebody might want to do something, that person now knows, hey, look, I can execute what I know. I don't know what this other person knows, but I know what I can execute. And if I take the initiative, in other words, you know, you lead the, beat the person to the punch, then you don't wait for that person to try to tackle you or take you down, single leg takedown or something like that. That person now has enormous advantages because probably they were underestimated, as almost any woman facing a guy would be underestimated by that guy. In almost every case, until the guy gets a broken nose or is KO'd at a sporting event.
Yeah. Well, you know, anybody who steps in the ring, male or female, knowing that there's pain in there because they've been sparring, they've been training hard, they're going into pain that they know. That defines a fighter. So win or lose, and they get in there, in my opinion, that defines a fighter. There's people that are paying customers that go to a boxing event, there's 200-400 people up in there, and how many people have gloves and mouthpieces on?
Well, you know? Yeah.
And then once they get in there, they apply their skills, what they learn, which takes courage, takes heart, and conditioning. That's the key. I don't put anybody in that ring without a finished product. You know, they have to be able to, the way I teach, see those punches in slow motion, deliver their punches with accuracy, velocity, impact, and try not to get hit themselves. And they've done some magic things. There's a lot of coaches down in Denver that have seen my product and loved it. They're going, "Boy, that girl is well schooled."
All right, that's awesome. And
that's a great compliment.
I've known you for, you know, quite a few years, and I mean, I love seeing what you do. The stuff that you have going on there is great. And
well, the guy you brought down, he was a pretty good product.
Well, I thank you very much.
Yeah. When's he coming back?
I've been trying to get him to come back, but you know, he ended up going to school and so forth, and I think that he wanted just to have that masculine confidence to be, you know, as a remember him being as a skinny guy is almost like a Tommy Hearns, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, just a really thin guy, but he wanted to have that physical confidence because he's also taller. So some meathead that outweighs him by 50, 60, 80 pounds, which would be pretty easy at his height, you know, doesn't come up and just, you know, start trying to, quote, manhandle him, unquote.
He had no fear. So he came in there, and my guys weren't supposed to hit him. And then after that first round, he goes, "I'm hitting this guy."
I said, feel free. I'm glad they did, because he wouldn't learn what it meant to be able to be in that give and take situation without ever taking something.
Well, he had no fear. You taught him well with that 1-2 hook blast. Bam, bam, bam.
Yep.
But you didn't teach him how to get away from the low high hit.
You know what? Because we didn't have that type of insurance to work with. So yeah. It's like, I mean, I taught him as well as I could within confines.
You did well. You did.
I appreciate
well.
That.
We wanted to see him back.
I know. I would love to. And I've got a couple other people I'd like to bring up there too. You know,
maybe some girls. I got some girls that are ready to go.
If I have some girls, If I have some girls, there's just a couple people right now that I'm trying to work with. I'm trying to get them ready. And I'd love to bring them up.
Yeah,
to be sure.
My girls know how to spar. They don't look to hurt anybody.
No, well, sparring, and this is the thing: sparring is to learn those skills. So, people out there, sparring isn't. You're not going into a sparring match to have a fight and beat the crap out of the other person, have them beat the crap out of you, or to see how much punishment you can deliver or take. It's all about figuring out how to put your feet in the right spot so you can throw a punch, and the other person, you know, learns how to defend against those punches, and they figure out how it feels to get hit. But you're not trying to throw hard as you can. Nobody learns from that. You want to throw as hard as you can, just use a heavy bag. Really.
In a perfect world, that works. But as Mike Tyson says, we all got a plan until you get hit in the face.
Well, that's also true. And some people do lose their cool.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to ask you about, were you able to see that this fight with Mikey Garcia versus Adrian Broner?
I did.
All right, now I love the result. I did not think it was that great of a fight, but it showed just how good Mikey Garcia is. That kid is really just a freaking diamond. He is so polished.
You have no idea how good Dick Cade really is. I met him back in 2014, and we talked, and mm-hmm. He hates boxing. He told me that.
Really?
Yeah.
I am shocked because his brother Robert is.
Well, all the Garcia clan.
Yeah,
you know, his dad's one that trained Vargas on, you know, Hall of Famer. The Garcia clan in Oxnard, they're one of the finest trainers on the planet.
No, I totally agree with that.
Mikey is their diamond. He's their diamond. He walked away from boxing because he hated it. He went to school, became a lawyer to specify boxing and contracts and what have you. Now he's back, and he's been fighting everybody, top guys. Broner outweighed him huge. Mikey's 135-pounder. He should be down there fighting Jorge Linares.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants money fights. He wants Keith Thurman.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Jesus
but, you know,
Christ.
So does Errol Spence. So does, you know, all these other big-time wild Crawford. He wants Keith Thurman. But for Mikey to even put those names in the hat, we'll tell you all about Mikey. The fight with Broner, it may have looked, because Broner made it look bad because Broner wasn't going to commit to anything because he would have went to sleep. Mikey puts him together with both hands.
Yes, he
and
does.
And he was pretty. I mean,
I agree. And you mentioned earlier how you have that dance, that ballerina kind of movement.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to the idea that you do, that foot placement and movement is so important to, you know, really to all sports, but in particular fighting sports, because a foot out of place means you're getting hit.
Well, the killers like Chocolito and Triple G mm-hmm. and Mikey, you hit it right on the head. It's their foot placement. And when like in one shot, you saw Adrian Broner throwing a right hand to his body, and he slips to the side, and he nails him with the hook. He didn't get the hook fully on the chin. If he would have, Broner would have been asleep. But it's that kind of foot placement and that kind of focus where he fights in the pocket and he stalks you and cuts a ring off on you.
Yep.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're talking about. That's why Triple G, Chocolito, and Mike Garcia are the people that people want to see.
Yeah, they are what you would call action fighters. They make the fight. They seek engagement.
Yeah.
And now I got to ask you that goofy thing that's coming up here, the Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather. I'm sorry. If you need the puke basket, I'll give you one. But I know. But I got to ask. And then I'm going to ask you about Triple G and Canelo.
All right. Okay. The Mayweather-Conor McGregor farce. Think Jack Dempsey wrestling a bear. That's what that one is. I mean, you got people. I mean, it's huge money. It's huge stuff. But it's kind of an insult to boxing. I mean, I'm not a Mayweather fan, 49-0. If he gets 50-0 on that, oh, come on now. Most boxing aficionados aren't gonna recognize that by any stretch of the imagination. So, no, I won't have anything to do with that fight. So then we move on to the Canelo and Triple G fight.
Now, that is a great matchup. Triple G is a couple years past his prime. Canelo, as I told a guy earlier today, is still developing and has yet to hit his peak.
Well, 49 fights is, I don't know about developing anymore. Well, he might be all he can be. He's already fought Mayweather. And that's his only loss.
Right.
And he's, Cotto. I mean, he's the real deal. He is the real deal.
Oh, I know, yeah.
Now, whether or not he could withstand the power of Triple G. Now, you have to understand, Triple G is who made Sergey Kovalev. That's his sparring partner.
Okay.
So when Triple G spars, he spars with cruiserweights and light heavies. That's what he's used to. You're bringing in little guys so he could get used to the speed, as he did with Kell Brook.
Right.
And Danny Jacobs. Well, Danny Jacobs, that's why he never weighed in. He outweighed Triple G by 18 pounds by fight time.
Right.
So he say Triple G's slipping. I don't buy that. Canelo, Triple G, my prediction is round 10 KO. Triple G will put him away in the 10th round. But after a monumental effort on Canelo's part.
Man, I think that's just the sweetest fight, for a boxing purist in a really long time. I mean, there's been a couple others, but that is a really...
Hats off to De La Hoya and then putting that thing together.
Yeah, yep. And De La Hoya was one heck of a fighter himself, too.
Yeah, if I were to tell De La Hoya and say, hey, you never ducked anybody, but now he's a promoter, so, that's his... His diamond, that's his guy.
Yeah, I know. That's true. He never did duck anybody. None. Fought anybody that was there to fight.
That's right. At their peak.
Yeah.
Right after their peak. Did you see Mayweather fight Pacquiao after Margarito?
Nope. No. See, that's why I am not a big fan of Mayweather, because I've told people that he's always handpicked his opponents. Probably last 20 have been pretty much handpicked. They may have had great marquee names before, but they may have come off of a brutal bruising fight, or they had been, out for a year or something like that, or it was clearly years past their prime. The only person he's actually really ever fought that I thought was, in their physical prime, maybe not in their developmental prime, would have been Canelo. In his prime. There's no way that Pacquiao was in his prime when he fought, though.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
No way.
There was a couple of
Ricky
others,
Hatton, maybe.
No, Ricky Hatton was...
But even he'd been annihilated by Pacquiao, beforehand.
I love Ricky Hatton, but he does come with a pillow strapped to his back. No disrespect.
that's true.
Yeah, Mayweather... You know what? It's prize fighting. And nobody's got the bigger prize than Mayweather. I mean, if you asked Sugar Ray Robinson... hey, would you do that? Would you, for the money that they're paying out, would you do exactly the way he did it? Time it right, let him age out, bada beep, bada bada. Would you do that? I'd like to hear what he'd say.
Well, Ray Robinson probably wouldn't have needed to have considered that, because that guy at his peak, I don't see anybody pound for pound that's even close to him. I mean, no. You might make a case for Lomachenko or somebody like that, but... Even there, I don't know. I mean, Ray Robinson, when you'd look at him at his peak, I mean, he could, both hands, feet, jab, every punch in the book. He could fight going backwards, forward, sideways, left, right, circles, whatever. I mean, you know, high, low, anything.
And then he fought all the monsters 4 or 5 times a piece.
Yeah, like Jake LaMotta.
Yeah.
5 out of 6.
Carlo Gisilio.
Oh, God, I mean, that was a brutal.
Who wants to fight these guys once or twice?
I mean, who wants to fight him once?
Yeah, well, for cases, the belt, you want to fight him once.
Yeah, for once.
It ain't necessary to have to do that 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, that guy, I think he was the best pound for pound.
I agree.
Ever. And I don't know who my second pick would be. Well, we got about a minute left. How do we reach you, Bobby?
Reach me?
Yes.
You just call me, bro.
All right. What's that phone number, everyone? Or is that okay? All right. Okay, listen. If you want to reach Bobby, call me, call the station, and I'll get you in touch with Bobby. You want to learn, you want to be really serious about boxing, then guess what? We need to have you get in touch with me. Whoever you are, get in touch with me. All right. Now we're going to take this away to Pulse of the Planet in a few seconds. We'll put our theme on here. Bobby, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Ed.